greater insight of you, how they're made, Lord, and that we could all be encouraged. So I just thank you. And I just pray that anoint me. I just give words of the Spirit, and I pray you open each person's heart to receive of the Spirit. And so we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. So we give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to turn, let's start off this morning, look at Acts. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. So you can turn there or look at that. We're going to look at Acts. We're going to be all over the place this morning, but we'll start with Acts. In Acts 17, 26, it says this: God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Now, we've been looking at God's design. And so this morning, what we're going to look at, God's design, and we're going to look at just differences, okay? That takes a broad range of things, differences. And there's really three points I wanted to go over, and I couldn't get them all three in one message, and I know you're all very thankful for that. And so I have to break it up. But this morning, what I want to look at is God's differences, and I just want to touch on cultural differences, and I want to spend a lot of time on personality differences, okay? And then the one I couldn't squeeze in here was gender differences. Okay, so next week, you won't come, we're going to talk about gender differences, and it needs a whole hour. You know, I mean, that's what you say, it does. Okay, it won't be that long. So next week, gender differences. But we want to look this morning at God's design and the differences we have in His design. Now, when you see this verse, it's very interesting because what it says here, that God, okay, and it really goes back to that, He created from one man. So you're having one entity, you know, of a man, physical man that He made. Okay, now He spoke and breathed the word into us and breathed His spirit into us and life into us from Him. But there's a makeup of mankind and womankind that come directly from God. So you have one couple, and so all the world and the peoples and the populations come from that. Okay, so He really makes a point that that's key there. Now, what He says here, when you see this, and we jump to now, and you look at all the differences, oh my goodness. I mean, and so, you know, it's enjoyable. You know, it's like, remember Linda and I got to go to Italy one time on a missions trip. Oh man, we just love the Italians. And it's just totally different. Just the expression and stuff, and the food was, oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. You know, but the whole culture was so different, you know, and I think that's the first foreign country we had ever gone to, and we were just mesmerized by everything about it, you know, but it's definitely different, and it definitely wasn't American. It just wasn't, yeah, and it, you know, and we visited other places since then, and it's like you go to a Spanish country, oh my goodness, you know, and then, you know, how many, Linda and I love Mexican food. Oh my goodness, you know. And I live in the Southwest, so I was a little bit more familiar with that, with the Latin culture and stuff like that. But you go in the Latin culture, the whole culture is different. You ever notice the colors in the Latin culture? I mean, just unbelievable, the bright colors in your dress and stuff like that, and the language and stuff, and just the whole way they interact with each other. I mean, it's just really is amazing, you know, how different it is, and very different from the Italians, okay? And then if you've had the opportunity to go to the Asia, Orient, you know, that part of the country, good grief. It's totally different. And the food's different. Everything about it is different. It's just amazing, and to be involved in that and just, you know, and appreciate the people and stuff like that. And then it's just kind of incredible. Then you go, you know, Mideastern. You got the Mideastern countries like that. Totally different. It's amazing the way their whole culture is totally different. And then you go in the African countries, you know, and you look at that. The whole culture is totally different. Unbelievably, especially the black portion of the African country, so expressive. Oh my goodness, the expression, you know, it's just incredible. And so it's a fascinating culture that they have, you know, and how it's developed. And so you have all this and you go, good grief, it's amazing. Well, what we see in this verse, we see all that came from one man and woman, okay, that God created. And so what it is an outgrowth of what God created. And then it says here that God determine the allotted periods and the boundaries. What are all the Latins doing in these different countries? God determined the boundary. You know, he didn't say, oh, the Latin country, and right smack dab in the middle of China, there's a little group of Latins. No, he didn't do that. This whole culture developed in an area, and then you have the Chinese, the Orient, that type. You move in, then you see all this group of people, all that, and they have the similar language and everything, you know, and they grow in this one spot. God determined the boundaries in the period of time. And so you go, oh my goodness, the Europeans, okay? It's like, oh, no, he determined the boundaries in the period of time like that. And so all of a sudden you're backing up. So what in the world is going on? I mean, it's like God determined the boundaries. He determined the period of time. Therefore, you know what he determined? The culture. He determined the culture. I just ask you this thing. Now just think about it. What culture is going to be in heaven? I have this idea. Everybody in heaven is going to be white European. I don't think so. I just numerically, we're not going to get it done. All right? This numerically ain't going to happen. You know, it's like that. And so what you have is like this whole vast, you know, world with all these different cultures, and they're all different. And so where did they come from? I'm getting the point. Where did these people come from? From one man. Where'd that one man come from? God. From one man and woman, and so it spread out. So who's the composite that created all these cultures? Where did these cultures come from? God. And what I think it is, you're going to say, you see the magnitude of heaven. You see the magnitude of heaven, the majesty of heaven. And we always talk about the unbelievable majesty of God and what it encompasses. And so we think, yeah, and we get into heaven, and all we see, all these cultures that flew out from God that shows his overall majesty, who he is, and heaven's going to look a lot like him in the same kind of majesty, and all these variations of people who reflect him. See? So what you have, it's like, okay, if we just had a whole country and it's all Latin, you know, okay, we're going to heaven, they're all going to be Latins, you know, but that's not the world we have. It's a variation. And so what God is, he picked all these variations are going to reflect him. Now, the Jewish people, a little different, he picked them, and he brought the Messiah through that specifically. And if you read closely the Bible, the reason for the Jewish nation and why he protected was to bring out, to present Christ. That was the purpose, not the Jewish nation. I mean, it hurt my heart if he spoke to me like he spoke to the Jewish people. You know, because they just messed up a lot, you know. So the reason is the whole lineage of Christ, and we can see where it came through that Christ, okay, and Christ, and it says all these blessings came on the Jewish people that culminate in Christ, and therefore we believe on Christ, and we receive all these blessings. See, that was his plan. That's why he did that. So why are these Jews? They're so great. And like, no, they're great because he picked them to show us Christ, and we believe in Christ, therefore we receive all his blessings. So we come out, and it's like, and people say, and I just have to take their word for it, the biggest church, the largest church numerically in the world is in China. See, it's like, oh, okay, maybe we all speak Chinese. I guess, numerically, he's got it covered. No, the whole point of it is, why am I saying all this? is we look at this and we see all these cultures, and we really should appreciate them. We should appreciate every single culture because those cultures reflect God. I got to tell you, this is funny. I mean, if I was Spanish, this would be really funny. You know, you never tell an ethnic joke when you're not that ethnicity. You know, you get in really bad trouble like that. You know, so I really need a Spanish guy up here to tell this joke. But so just humor me, you know, pretend I'm Spanish from Colombia, okay, from Colombia. I'm Wally from Colombia. Of course, they don't say W's in Wally. They go, I'm Ollie from Colombia. And so this guy got, is a pastor's conference. He's a pastor's conference. So the guy's from Colombia, and he taught, oh, the guy was a hoot. He was really good. And he says, listen, Colombian, just strong Spanish accent. He says, I'm going to ask you something. And he says, what language will they speak in heaven? You know, and so we're all in there, and you know, thought, well, he's a Spanish guy, and he says, Spanish. He goes, no, not Spanish. It's going to be English. He says, because the Americans will not learn a second language. Okay, so, I mean, so you whatever. Now, so the cultures are cultures. So when we look at that, and the reason I'm taking time, when you look at what this verse says, I mean, it's just kind of a, I don't want to say a throwaway verse, but there's not emphasis on it when you read through Acts. It just says here. But when you look at it, it's like, wait a minute. God determined the boundaries and the period. Look at all these people. They're migrating here. They're doing, what is God's doing something. He's shuffling the cards. Shuffling it. See? And see, because Christ is the answer. But anyway, the point of it is we need to really appreciate and see the elements in these other cultures of the magnitude of God. See, they give us a presentation of the magnitude of God, all these other cultures, and His majesty, and how it's going to be like in heaven. It's going to be incredible. Now, of course, here's everything. Sin distorts everything. I don't care what culture it is. Sin distorts it and makes it perverted. But there's something to be appreciated and learned by each culture. So we need to be aware of that. You know, as we deal with that, there's things to appreciate. Things to appreciate. Now, the thing that changes the culture to have God exactly the way God wants it is they trust in Christ. Change. It's amazing. I don't know if any of you have had opportunities to do this, to go to a situation where there's like a meeting or something, and there's several different cultures represented, and then have interact, and there's a unity. There's a unity there in Christ as they interact. There's a connection. It's amazing, but it's a spiritual connection you have in Christ. We went one time, Linda and I, and we went, there's a time we went to Italy, and it's really the first time I experienced that. I am so American. I mean, it's just pitiful. By the way, I am truly American. I sat in that table one day, and the lady says, where did I say I'm American? She said, there's no real Americans. I said, beg your pardon. She said, well, not everybody moved there. I said, not me. I said, my grandmother was here when everybody showed up, okay? Because, see, I'm eighth Indian, okay? So I can call this eighth Indian, you know? And we got a few more, and Fran and Gracie, and, you know, so we got some folks in here. We're indigenous, you know? So Columbus Day, they're changing Columbus Day to Indigenous Day. I'm good with that. I'd like, you know, I'm going to just celebrate Wally Day. But anyway, the whole thing of it here is to understand sin distorts everything, but there's, in the culture, there's represent of what God is like. And what I was talking about in this meeting, there, I think, I can't remember, it was Italian, Finnish, American, Filipino. And so we sang a hymn and a praise song that they all knew. They all, in the different places, the churches they all came from, they knew this is a praise song, wasn't it? And so what we did, we sit around, pray, and they led us in music, is the same music, and they sang, and each one would sing a verse, and then the other culture would sing a verse, and the other culture, and just went around. And so you could recognize what they were saying because you knew the music. You know, and it's going, and I mean, it moved me to tears. It's like I was like bawling, but it's like, gosh, that's like heaven's going to be like. That's what heaven's going to be like. Oh my goodness, it was so moving, you know, at that time. And everybody was saying, and then they said, now you all joined together and sang one thing. Same music, different words. You know, oh, it's powerful. It's a powerful. But anyway, so why am I saying God's design? The differences are his design. God must really like Chinese. It's a mess of them, you know. I mean, it's like, he likes those cultures. You know, you see what I'm saying? He likes these people. They reflect him. You know, the African countries, he likes them. They reflect him. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So there's things to be learned and appreciated. And when we have that attitude, it really makes it easier to share the gospel. Say, no, God loves your culture. Now, he doesn't like the sin. Every culture's got their own hang-ups and their sin, so you got to filter through that. Okay, so that's the whole point. Just this one verse, and we'll talk about the cultures we need to be able, because that reflects God. These different cultures reflect God. And so when you see them coming together, the combinations, oh my goodness, heaven's going to be a hoot. It's going to be colorful, and magnitude is going to be incredible, okay? Now the next one that I want to look at, I'm going to spend most of the time here, and it's God's design, you know, differences, and his personalities. Personalities. So God created man and woman in his image. Therefore, if that's true, all personality types are an outflow from God. All personality types are an outflow from God. Now, and when you look at this, you have to look at all these different personalities in the human race, and you think, no, this is a flowing out of God, of who God is, these personalities, you think. And so what I want to do to touch on this is to use a simple example of a personality test to drive home the points. And so what I'm trying to do is just have an example and drive home the points. I'm not trying to be too specific about each personality type because we don't have time and I wouldn't do it justice, but I want to drive home the point. And so to drive home the point about the personalities and see how God is in them, I'm going to use the personality test. I think it's like the DISC, D-I-S-C. You familiar with that? You heard that? D-I-S-C. Okay, and this is what it is. Have the overhead here. And so if I put everything there, we wouldn't have time to go over things. So I'm just highlighting things that just kind of jumped out at me. Okay, so what you have, a personality, what it says, you have four personality types. He just divides the whole world into four personality types. And he makes some good points here. Now, first you have what they call the D. Okay, the D. Now, the D's, people with the D's, tend to be more task-focused, okay? Task-focused people. Now, by the way, this crosses over men and women. Next week, okay, we'll talk about the men and women. But this crosses over men and women, all right? But so D tend to be more task-focused. Kind of no nonsense, and they're builders. You know, hey, let's get this done, build this up. Well, I don't feel good. I didn't ask you how you felt. Let's get this thing built. You know, I mean, that's kind of that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so they tend to be more no-nonsense, task-focused. Now, the eyes are really people-focused. People-focused. And so they're really focused on people and who the people. They're not so much focused on the task. They're focused on the people. They're not so interested in what we're doing. They're interested in who you're doing it with. You understand what I'm saying? Well, this guy, I'd rather work with this guy. He's more fun. Okay, but that's what an eye does. They're people-focused, interested people, okay? Now, they tend to be impulsive. Now, that just sounds negative, but I just wanted to put that in to make a point. Like, they tend to be more impulsive, you know, because they're real people-focused, but they also tend to be influencers. They're real people, so they tend to be influencers, all right? Now, the other one, really interesting. S, now you misread S's. I know that because I are one. But anyway, S's, now they're people-focused. Now people-focused. However, they don't like a bunch of people, but they like a small group of people. You know, they kind of like, I'm going to say they don't like a bunch of people, but they don't connect with a lot of people. They'll connect with a small group of people. And, you know, and so they'll tend to connect with smaller groups. See, they tend to connect with smaller groups. A lot of times diplomats are S personalities, because what they're looking at, okay, now how can we work this out? Okay, I know what you're upset. Okay, let's work this out. We can get there. You know, we can pull all this stuff together. So it's a diplomat. So it's kind of a diplomat. People focus on smaller groups. So tend to be a little bit of an introvert. Probably me a lot, an introvert. Okay, now here you got C's. Now C's that on this are detail focused. Detail. I mean, they won't. The details. You never hear C go, whatever. No. Okay, there's a reason, and you want all the information, and you want it in order. Okay, there's no room for error. If there's error, you didn't do it right. All right? So there's no room for error. Like doctors and accountants. They're C's. How would you like to have your doctor? He's an I. Hey, and they're high-fiving everything and think, what are you doing? How's the family? You know, I said, well, no, wait a minute. You want a doctor? You want him in the details. You're working on my head. I want the details. You know, you do this right. Don't skip a step. You see what I'm saying? How about accounting? You know, give you some, you got so much, you're okay. You know, it'll all work out in the end. No. Listen, you tell me, I want down to the cent, you know. How do you want your accountant? He says, you're good. I rounded up to the nearest thousand. What did you talk about? Okay, so C's are detail-focused, no room for errors. They're doctors and accountants. Okay, so here you have, these are kind of the personalities in general. Okay, so I want to look at this. Now, here we got, I want to look at a D. And, you know, I've read a lot of different things, and theologians, the ones that look at, they generally agree on this one, all right? This wasn't the hard. A D, okay? We're going to look at Galatians 2:11. Paul was a D, the Apostle Paul. People pretty much agree the Apostle Paul was a D. He was focused on the task. He was no nonsense. He was a builder. In fact, a lot of people say, you know, based on Paul's foundation, the church is built on Christ. He put the things together, and he was the one that took it. He says, I've suffered more than all. Just let you know. Okay, so Paul was focused on the task, and Paul was no nonsense. I think you read Paul's letters, you go, he's no nonsense, you know. Here's what we had, where Paul is in Galatia, and so Peter comes up and sees him. And so Peter gets with some other guys, and so they kind of get off doctrinally. So you got the Apostle Peter coming up to see Paul, and they get off a little. Maybe they're over a cup of coffee, and they just kind of get off. And Paul says, but when Cephas, or Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Yeah, you may be Apostle Peter, buddy, no siree, you're wrong. I opposed him in his face. And it says a whole bunch of people was there. Some of us are going, oh gosh, I wish he hadn't have said that. The D's are going, get him. You know, the S's are, gosh, we should have got off by ourselves. We could have discussed this. You didn't have to be such a butt about everything. You know, see what I'm saying like that? And the C goes, you both are wrong. I got the word here. You know, I mean, you got all the details. You didn't do it right in the first place. I can tell you how to do it because it's written right here. See, so here you got the Apostle Paul. No nonsense. He's a builder. But you can see Peter came up and they were off doctrinally. They were off. And Paul just, no, right there. Called him out in front of everybody. He opposed him to his face. Now you say, who wrote this? Paul wrote this about himself. I mean, he's proud of it. He's not upset that this happened. But here's something else. We need to understand personalities don't change with salvation. I hope this person comes to know Jesus and they won't act like that. Well, maybe they won't be sinful, but they're still going to act like they are. You see what I'm saying? The personality doesn't change with salvation. God created. He's not going to change your personality of salvation. See, I want to show you something about Paul before he was saved. Okay? Look at Acts 9:1. This is Paul before he was saved. But Saul, still breathing out threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. See, he's breathing out threats of murder. I'm out to disciples. And when Peter comes up to him, he's breathing out threats of murder to Peter. He said, come on. See, his personality didn't change by salvation. Now, I'm doing a little ad lib, you know that. But what does happen, salvation doesn't change our personality, but salvation refines our personality to be expressed in a godly way. Doesn't change it, it refines it. See, God likes deeds and he wants more of them. He just refines it. Amen? You see what I'm saying? He doesn't change it. He doesn't change it. He refines a personality. Now, let's look here. That's the deed. Let's go to an eye. Okay, who's an eye? Let's pause. See if y'all can think of an eye in Scripture. This one kind of jumps off the pages, too, if you think about it. It's Peter. Look, if you will, John 21:7. It's Peter. And it's funny, you read through, this makes a lot of sense. Peter is a people person. He's impulsive and he's an influencer. You know, I don't have it written here, but there was John, Jesus goes, it's really funny to me, but he goes, "Who am I?" Peter goes, "You are the Christ." You know. And then he goes, Jesus goes, "God revealed that to you." And then Jesus says, "I'm going to go and I'm going to have to die for you." Peter goes, "God forbid, you will not die for me." And then Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, good grief. I mean, you got within five verses, you went from "God told you" and "get behind me, Satan." I mean, it's like, who in the world can get? I mean, that makes my head hurt. You know, I'm either one or the other. I ain't both of them, you know, like that. But I can be both. I'm here and there, and I'm here and there. And you got to focus. See, so that's what, so Peter, that's what's Peter. Well, I can be there, I can be there. See, because there's impulsive, because such a people person that makes that connection. But read this verse. John 21:7. They went out fishing, so they're all fishing. And this is after the resurrection, and Jesus appears. And they go, "Look, that's Jesus." And he says, "Throw the net out." And they said, "We ain't catching it." "Well, throw it on the, you'll catch something, you know." So now I had all this fish, and they're pulling this fish in. And this is what happens. John 21:7. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, now they're out in the lake. He put on his garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. I mean, he's out there in the boat, everybody pulling fish out. It's Jesus, and just jump in the sea, you know, and he's just swimming out there, you know. Also, it tells you these other guys are working, pulling these fish in, you know. It's like, what's Peter doing? He's jumping out in the, what is he doing? So he goes up and he sees Jesus. Okay, so what you do, you see this impulsive kind of behavior. It's a real people person. I don't go here, just go here, you know, like that. See, now, God created that. He's an influencer. Now, do you know what? In John 21, y'all can read on that. Amazing. You know what Jesus says to Peter? He knows he's an influencer. He knows he's made as an influencer. Just think. We're in the last part of John. And what Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, says to Peter. He says, "Feed my sheep." You're an influencer. You feed my sheep. I want you focused. You feed my sheep. Told Peter. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And so, there's your eye. Eyes are influencers. Eyes are influencers. Now, S, James, I put, and again, S's are kind of hard to identify because they kind of slither around. You know, I try hard to put a finger on an S. You know, they're kind of, you know, moving around. And don't want to get out front and don't want to, you know, take a lot of heat. And so you got S. I'm thinking, gosh, S, I'm flipping through this. And this just popped out to me because S's are, again, they like small groups. And they like to kind of bring people together. And then they really do enjoy people, but they enjoy depths of people. People going deep, all right? Well, here you got James. And they can be real diplomatic because you have to be diplomatic if you're trying to get people together, all right? Like that. Now, look here at James in Acts chapter 15, verses 19 through 20. Now, this is interesting. Now, we just told you what happened in Galatia, right? Peter comes up, okay, and so he kind of gets off base, and boy, Paul just lays into him, the D. So you got the I off base, the D just lays into him. So they have this meeting in Jerusalem. And it's the Jewish leaders, and so they're coming together in Acts 15. The Jewish leaders are coming together to discuss this issue. And what the issue is, and it's all Jewish leaders. Now, in Acts 15, the leaders come, they're all Jewish. And so what they've been raised their whole life, Jewish culture. You know, and their walk and their acts of what obedience is and purity is, you know, and they've been raised this way. And then you've got these Gentiles, they don't have any background. You know, they come in smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, and say, I love Jesus. You know, and the Jews are going, oh, get out of here. Get out of here. You know, not in my house. You'll love Jesus someplace else. You know, now you know I'm being decision. But that's kind of what's happening. The contrast between the Jews and the Gentiles. And I'll even tell you, this is what, and just add this in. Peter, okay, the influencer, this is totally off script, but he goes into a Gentile's house. So he said, I'm a pure Jew, and I'm going into this not pure Gentile's house. And so Jesus appears to him in a vision and says, go to this house. And this Jesus appeared, or the angel appeared to this Gentile and says, go get Peter, bring him into your house. He's got to tell both of them. Neither one. So he sends him. Peter comes. He comes to his house. The first thing, he's had this vision of God. He walks into this Gentile's house. And he says, you know, God says I'm not supposed to be here. That's the first thing he said. Read the account. I said, hey, buddy, you know, go peddle your goods someplace else. But no, he said, no, God said you're supposed to be here. Oh, yeah, he did. He told me that too. You know, but that's what happened. First thing you walk into a Gentile's house is, you know, I'm not supposed to be here because I'm a clean Jew. That actually happened. You see what I'm saying? So you're here, you have this meeting, and Peter's in this meeting. Peter's in there. Paul is in this meeting, who's bringing all these beer drinking, cigarette smoking Gentiles into the Christianity. And they're having this meeting, Paul, Peter, and these Jewish leaders. And they said, listen, this ain't working. This is not working. And so they go through. It's fun to read that. Just read through. It's an interesting thing in chapter 15. So James, after everybody talks, James stands up. Now you don't hear much about it. Now this is James, the Lord's brother, because James the apostle has been killed. So this is the Lord's brother, okay? Now, the Lord's brother didn't believe that Jesus was real until after the crucifixion. I mean, you know, family's hard. You know, even for Jesus, family's hard. But so it's after, so here we have all these leaders, Apostle Peter, Paul, and who else? I mean, it might have been some other apostles there, I don't know. So they're having, and they have this big discussion, like, hey, this is not working now. So James, and by the way, this confuses, you read some theologians, this confuses some theologians because how James handled this, because it doesn't seem to make sense. So James says, okay, I heard everything, now listen to this. Now James, the S, got a small group here, I'm the diplomat, I'm going to be the diplomat. And he says, therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those Gentiles who turn to God. Now, isn't that a cool statement? Isn't that a cool statement? He said, now, let's don't trouble these Gentiles who've turned to God. So it's like they're turning to God. Let's don't, you know, we need to, hey, God has touched these people. I mean, that's an incredible statement there. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those Gentiles who turn to God. But I will write to them. Now listen, he does. I will write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols. Now see, we're thinking, what are you talking about? We don't have that issue. They're sacrificing meat to idols and then take it home and eat it. But they were looking at the, hey, this is sacrifice of idols, so you're eating all this idol meat and, you know, you're polluting yourself with idols. And so James goes, you know, we're under freedom, but let's write these Gentiles and tell them they should abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality. Now, I'm thinking, that's kind of crazy. He had to mention that. He's like, I know you're free, but you need to cut out that, okay? Abstain from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled. Now, what does that mean? Because what they would do, they'd strangle these animals and cook them in their blood. Well, the blood was holy to the Jews. By the way, it's not too healthy anyway. But anyway, he didn't touch on that. And his blood is real healthy because it's sacrificial. But strangle that. They would strangle them and they cook them in their blood. That's what this is. And so he says, listen, you know, so we don't keep from what's strangled and keep from blood. You know, some cultures drink blood. Cooking blood. I mean, I don't know. You got your things, you know? So you're looking at this. You got this big church meeting. Everybody's here. What? Okay, guys, I'm heading this thing. I want you to stop eating things strangled. You know, what are you talking about? Doesn't fit. It fit here. And it was this huge transition was taken over because these Gentiles were doing all this stuff. And these Jews are going, I saw some of you make faces, strangling you, and like, that's what these Jews were doing. Like, good gosh, are you going to eat with these folks? Are you strangling? They're drinking blood? Oh, my gosh. See, that's what these Jews were doing. You know, and Gentiles like, hey, you know, get over it. Get over it. I love Jesus like I knew I want to, you know. So what you have here, so James is hearing all this, so he pulls it together. Now, here's what he did. Here's what James did. And this is fascinating. And you look at this. For the time and the place. Now, these are Jewish people. They don't have any Gentile representation except Paul. He's Jewish, but he's saying, hey, listen, there's more to this gospel than what you're doing. So in this meeting of Christian Jewish leaders, James brilliantly addresses the opposing Jew and Gentile concerns. First of all, what he did, in this meeting, James diplomatically shows the need to fully accept the Gentiles. See, we kind of skim over it. That's what he did. See, he did. That's the first thing he did. Let's don't put anything on these Gentiles who've come to God. That's the first thing. So what he did, he showed the need to fully accept Gentiles, yet at the same time, he still recognized the basic concerns that were repulsive to the Jews. See, listen, don't do that. Well, I thought I was free to go. You are free to go ahead, but you want to get around along with the Jewish folks. Don't eat these strangled animals and drink blood, all right? Just come on. That's what he said here. He didn't issue a new commandment. He just said, hey, let's get along. Let's get along. And this is just, you need to stay away from it. So what he did, fully incorporated the Gentiles, and he recognizes the basic concerns that were repulsive to the Jews. Now, come on, how smart is that? How smart is that? And it says when the end, they agreed and went forward. They agreed. Now, what it shows you is diplomacy. Through diplomacy, you can biblically reconcile opposing parties without compromising your core Christian beliefs. Now you got to be kind of, oh God, give me a word, you know? Oh God, give me a word. But that's what S's do, typically do, okay? That's the general good part of it. There's some negative parts of S's, okay? Is there ever personality? But that's what they typically will do, that they're kind of wired that way. They'll do that. Okay, y'all with me? Can I make a sense? Okay, so now we have somebody else. Now here we got C. Okay, we got C. Who's a good C? Oh, you should jump on this. Somebody should know this. Who's a good C? Detailed person, no error. Luke. Oh my gosh. Luke. No room for error. And he was in the word, it says Luke was a doctor. It says he is a doctor. There's no room for error. He's a doctor. Okay. And it's like, and so he's full of detail. And when you look at the New Testament, he wrote two of the longest books in the New Testament, Luke and Acts. And if you put them together, he wrote more than anybody else in the New Testament, or just about, see? So you read through Luke, say, why? You're going forever about this. You can't skip anything. You can't skip it. See, it's a C. That's a C. Details. The details are important. Details are important, all right? Like your doctor, every time you go in doctor, you see him, you see. He goes, no, I'm a happy lucky. Change doctors. Okay, you see what I'm saying? All right, now, okay. So Luke was a detailed doctor before salvation, and he was a detailed investigator after salvation. His personality didn't change. So what you have here, salvation does not change your personality, but it refines it to express it in a godly way. Amen? I like that. Okay, so we need to recognize who people are. Don't try to change how they're wired. I'm going to add this little footnote. How are we doing on time? I just said footnote. And this will drive you nuts, right? You have children. They come into this world. They are hardwired. You know when this little baby, you know when that little baby became a D? At conception. Oh, this goo-goo eyes bright. This little, you know when this little baby became an eye? At conception. This one's kind of moving, like, he doesn't do anything, he didn't get anything. You know how this baby became an S? At conception. His little baby is cute, everything bugs him, nothing is right, and it's like that, and he's just, every detail seems to be out of place and makes him a little nuts on this. What is this? You know what, how he became a C? At conception. Anybody has children, know that. So you need to behave like your brother. Not happening. Not happening. Or how many of you looked at, where did you come from? Okay, see, they come hardwired, all right? God created them. He created them. And so what do you do with this little D that's just like, stepping into everything? God says, mold him into godly ways. He says, you take him and you mold him, No, you see, that's what it is. Amen? See, that's what it is, and it's a challenge. Okay, so here we have. I just wanted to go through that. But the point of it, why going through all these details, is it to understand that the differences of who we are is from God. See, it's from God. This drives me nuts. They're from God. No, they're not. I'm from God. They're not from God. It's not. That doesn't work that way. Now, okay. Now here, so I went through this, and I hope you all had fun with it. But we're not pure in any of these. Very seldom do you see a pure personality type. There's a mixture. They're a mixture of them. So it makes it too difficult to figure out. And really, they're even bigger mixtures than this. And there's great personality tests, and they really are great personality tests that identify more clearly our differences. And they're good to take. They're really good to take because you understand. I know y'all won't believe this at all, but I have a few little quirks, But so I took this test, and it was one of these personalities, and I just hate to do these things, but I had to do it for some reason. A lot of work does it, and it's for good reason. They can understand, lost or saved. And so I took this test, and so I took the whole thing, so I read through it. And so when I read through it, the results, and I went through, and it identified some of these little quirks I had. Well, nobody knows this but me. And it identified. I said, that's amazing that it did that. Well, that is. Now I thought, wait a minute. This guy knew beforehand I had this quirk. I mean, as other people must have this quirk. This is like other people have it. I'm not unique like that in my personality. Other people just like that. See? Well, you got to be kidding me. See, well, what it is that we should be excited about. This is not so much to identify our personality type, but it's to know that God created the differences. The differences are good, and the differences are identifiable. I don't understand you. It's like that. I can't imagine you ever saying, I don't, why would you do that? And some of it's just personality, And if you understand the personality, you kind of, that's why you did that. I'm still going to spank you, but that's why you did that. You see what I'm saying? And so it helps to understand, to mold, Don't ever try to put, a square peg in a round hole when you understand that. Do you see what I'm saying? And you see, this is God. I'm cooperating with how God made us, but I want a godly presentation, of your personality. And so that's an important thing to know. So now I'll ask you this. Which personality reflects God? Which personality reflects Jesus? See? You ever notice Jesus? He comes in, he didn't have issues with anybody. He's just like, okay, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. He had everything. He had everything. We don't. And so what we have here, when we know that each personality reflects God, now here's, this is a tough one. This is a tough. That means that the coming together of all these different personalities are necessary to discern God's will. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. You kidding me? You kidding me? I don't, you know, we have to, I want to see what everybody thinks except you. You know, no, you can't do that. Okay, you can't. So what you do, and it, what it shows is there's a need for one another. There's for need. Like I said, we're going to build this building. We're going to do it like this, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it tomorrow, and this is what we'll do. And it's like, listen, do you know how many people you're going to destroy while you're doing that? It's going to backfire on you. We'll do it without them, with them. You know, it's like, no. Listen, we'll get it done, but we need to incorporate the people. You see what I'm saying? I used to work for the agency, and we'd do these. I'm going way long, but I'm having a lot of fun with this. And this is the reason why we'll do genders next week. But I worked CIA, and they'd have these projects, and these were really high-level, intelligent projects. And I was the numbers guy, you know. I'm so I got a little C in me because I do the count and I keep figures, you know. Now, so they get up there, and so you have all these personalities come in. All these personality works. And they'd worked there, and they encouraged them to get mad and holler at each other and throw stuff. And I am not kidding you. Because what they would do is they would discern what's happening. Now, the project manager would discern all the good at it. I mean, I've seen some wild meetings in there like that. Well, what they had a group, and they called them the analysts. You always had analysts. And what the, and I'm just talking about this. And what the analysts did, they analyzed stuff. They And for the most part, they were C's. Details. No room for, and they'd analyze. And any of you like to analyze. I need a decision. No, I got to analyze. Like, they wouldn't come to a decision. They analyze it. They need it because they could never get enough details to make a decision. That's what C's do. It's hard for C to make a decision because there's too much information, and you never can be sure you got it all. It's a C. Amen. And so the project manager, you go in these analysts, they say, do this, they can't do it. Analysts, they can't do this, can't do this. And so one day, and I'm just listening, the project manager stood up, he said, all right, today we shoot the analysts, we move on. You know, the analysts never came to another meeting. Those guys went and did detail on something else. But what he did, he said, I got, because they ain't never going to come to a decision. These C's, they just need more information, constantly want more information. More information, you know? And so what he said, we're done with the analysts. We're going to go with what we got. You know, well, that's what C's do. Well, are C's bad? No. But you got to have somebody like the Apostle Paul said, we're done, Peter. Peter, we're done. No more, buddy. I mean, you know, I can see God. I mean, can you imagine anybody more detailed than God? He's like, wow. You know, he's like, oh, my God. But can you understand? Like, he comes over here and goes, nah, we're going with this. We're done. You see, that's a lot. We're done. Now, but so every personality you see like that. So, but the point of it is to understand the differences and how they work together. Now, so what do you do? Here's the lesson to appreciate people. The whole point is to appreciate people and God has given them. But that means everybody. And see, by definition, some of these people don't get along. They don't get along by definition. The guy said, we're done. The C's are gone. You insensitive brute. You know? How dare you? Yeah, you see what I'm saying? But you got to have somebody say it's done. But if we got somebody say, no, I don't care what anybody says, we're doing this. No, you got to have somebody dig into the details. You know? And somebody's got to worry about people because everything you do works around people. I got all the details and we make the decision and it's going to destroy half the people we deal with. No, I don't think that's God's way. I think he wants to work with the people. See, so you got to back up. But what God is doing is showing you his way. I don't know how to do it. And the ass is over. Now, see, the ass is over here sucking his thumb. He ain't said nothing to anybody the whole time. I don't know how to do this. And the ass goes, I can help. Let me talk to him. I can bring this together. You're kidding me. You ain't said nothing the whole time we've been here. Nobody asked me. You know, you see what I'm saying? Introverted. Ask me, I'll tell you. See? And so you have S step in, and here he steps up in front, and he makes, look, this and this, and you pull it together. Amen? Y'all see what I'm saying? But anyway, you see the difficulty of of not getting along. Not getting along. See, we just have to walk with Jesus. We get along out there. But you see, Peter and Paul weren't getting along too good. Paul and Barnabas, see, Paul's getting at crossways, a lot of people. He jumped on Peter, Paul jumped on Barnabas, and Barnabas got mad and left with Mark, went someplace else, and Paul took Silas. I mean, that's the church. Holy good night, you know. So it's an effort to try to work through these things. Now, so the problem is with all these things, sin clouds everything. See, I want my way. I'm not telling anybody, but I want my way. I want more information. You know, I want this thing done, and I want this guy out of the room. You know, I want them all to go home, and I can just talk with these two guys, and we can figure it out. You know, like that. I don't want two guys. I want to talk to a whole bunch. I like lots of people. I influence them. See, you see what I'm saying? So you have to say, no, I got to make a self-examination of my own sin. Now, we're really good about examining everybody else's sin, okay? But we need to examine our own sin and say, okay, how do I move forward with this? Now, and so what we do, there has to be honest self-evaluation and humility. Humility. Okay, what does God want? And so here's the thing, and this is going to be real short, but this is real helpful if people will do it. Unless there's an issue that clearly violates Scripture, not what you think violates Scripture, but they see it clear violate the Scripture. Like, we're going to go outside and we're going to shoot this guy. No, I don't think we ought to do that, you know. It says right here. Now, I'm being, you know, facetious, but the point is there's a clear violation of Scripture, not what we think violates Scripture. There's a clear violation of Scripture, a scriptural command. And so that's the only time we have to step back. And usually we have to separate ourselves from the whole thing. But even then, you step back and separate yourself. You don't try to whip everybody in the room. So, unless there's a clear violation of Scripture, we are to humbly present our thoughts. Humbly present our thoughts. Okay? We work for a consensus. Amen? Pull a few S's in there. They love consensus. R. Here's the R. This is biblical. I'm not going to spend any time on it, but this is biblical. R. You defer to the appointed authorities and let them decide. It's on them. Oh, God's going to rain down hellfire and damnation if we do that. Okay, let the authorities make the decision. It hit them, not me. I told you what I knew. You know, you're in this alone, buddy. See, let the authorities, the God-appointed authorities, decide. Okay? It's fascinating there. All right. I'm having way too much fun with this. Way too much fun. But here, I want to close out with this. Being aware of people's personalities and cultures can be a great assistant in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know somebody who knew this better than anybody else? The no-nonsense Apostle Paul. He knew it better than anybody else. And he grew in this. There's no doubt he grew in this. And the Apostle Paul, look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 9, 19-23, where he understood the importance of personalities and culture. And he says this, for though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. I become what these people are. I'm with the D's, I become with the D's. With I's, I become with an I. With the S's, I become with an S's. Okay, the C's, I become with the C's. I become them and I relate with them, you know, so I can share with them because I know what they're thinking. I know how they operate. Amen. Because I have one purpose, and that's to share the gospel. Amen? So you learn that. Learn that. And so here's what I have. You have all, and I want to pass this on, have all these personalities, and we have all these personalities. We talk to people. All these are personalities. I want to encourage you something. Here's one question that any personality can use, and it will touch any personality. I promise you, I've used it. I've seen other people use it. I've never seen a negative feedback. Now, you may have one. I'm just saying I've never seen a negative feedback from this question. And you ask this question, you'll know where they're coming from, and you'll know their personality. Almost with this one question. You want to hear it? That's great. All right, here it is. Ask them, hey, buddy, how are you doing? You have a cup of coffee. You know, I have a question. This is interesting to think about this. If you were standing before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Oh, it's a powerful question. If you, and it's a fun. I said, oh, man, I never thought of, golly, you know. If you were standing before God, and God said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Oh, it's powerful. I said, man, you got to bust your butt. You got to get stuff done. You work for God. Okay? Got that. Okay? That's his issue. That's his issue. That's his issue. Or he said, oh, man, you just love people. Love everybody. Get a bunch of people. Help them out. Do lots of good things. You know, that, love people. That's how you get to God. Okay. Hey, oh, you just try to be nice. Get a couple of people. Help who you can. You can't do everything. You try to help people get along. You try to get along. And, you know, get along. And then God will get along with you, you know. Okay. I got you. C says, I have no idea. I need more information. You give me more information. You can't make a decision like that unless you have more information. And I don't care how much information you get. He wants more information. See, I can't make a decision without more information. Okay. See? So you know. And the thing of this, there's one answer. There's one answer. God loves you. You're forgiven. But God loves you. But you got what? He did it. But the people, he did it. But you got, he did it. Information. He got the information. He did it. You're forgiven. God loves you. You're forgiven. But, God loves you. You're forgiven. But, God loves you. Well, what about this? God loves you and you're forgiven. That is the only way. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, that's what he said. I come to you with the cross. Come on, Paul, you got more information than that. Come to you with the cross. Amen? Luke said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Luke is in his, you know, he wrote two books. But the point was there. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Why don't we pray? Here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the message for everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for who you are, and we give you all things. And Lord, we do bow down to you, and we thank, gosh, you do have the answer, and you do have the personalities. They all come from you, and you created us in an unbelievable way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be excited about who you are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.